We do. It has to be in faith, right? I think that what the church as a whole is missing a lot of is pure, genuine, sincere faith. All right? Because if we want revival, we're going to have to pray. But if we don't pray in faith, what good is that? You know, there has to be faith. And, of course, our faith has to be motivated by love, right? So I want to talk to you tonight about releasing your faith. Amen? Anybody got something that you need God to do for you? Something that needs to be opened on your behalf. Something that needs to take place in your life. Obstacle needs to be removed, whatever. Well, it's going to take faith for that to come to pass. All right? If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 14. So I want to, it's like the working of faith or how to release your faith. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing what? Okay. Well, then how is faith released? You know, by you acting in line with the word. And that could be speaking or taking an action. All right. And in Romans chapter 14, verse 22 and 23. I'll go ahead and read from the King James. It says, "Have you faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in that thing which he allows. And he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin." Whoa. Who said that? That's the word of God. So anything that we do that's not in faith, essentially, what is it? It's sin. All right? And in other words, we're missing the mark. We're not pleasing God. But you know what? We have an example of strong faith, right? Abraham. Last week, we looked at Abraham a little bit in Romans chapter 4. And it talks about how he had strong faith. He didn't consider his body. You know, when it comes to faith, your body is not a good voice to listen to when it comes to faith. All right? Body, how do you, let's just pretend that this pulpit is the body. All right? And I'm believing God for something. All right. If I'm believing God for something, I'm not going to consult my body. Okay, body, how do you feel about that? Or body, what do you think about that? Because I'll guarantee you that your body will not answer in line with God's word. All right. Because faith is spiritual. Now, the spiritual will affect the natural, because everything that was created came out of the spirit. Right. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're not downplaying. We're just not. Listen, in your board of advisors, your body should not be on the board of advisors. Your body should not have a seat on the board. You read Abraham. He couldn't consider his body. He didn't consider his body. Why? His body was dead. So he could not consult his body in whether or not him and Sarah were going to have a child, because their bodies couldn't answer, because their bodies were dead. Their bodies couldn't produce what was necessary for the child to come about. There was no womb for the, there was no womb in the inn, or there was. Really? I mean, seriously, because the condition of Sarah's womb was not suitable to carry a child before God spoke. Because she had gotten past the age. But, you know, He strengthened his faith. How did he do that? He gave glory to God. If you were to have a scale, you know those scales, the old-time scales with the two plates on either side, okay? And if you were to measure your rejoicing against your complaining, what would be heavier? All right, don't answer the question. Just get that picture in your mind. Oops, I need to add a little bit more rejoicing to make that outweigh my other stuff. Okay? All right, let's go to John chapter 4 and let's get into this thing. I'm excited about this. John chapter 4, glory to God. And I apologize about the temperature. It's a little warm in here, but our air handler is making some weird noise. We got to pray healing over our air handler. Amen? Okay. John chapter 4 and verse 43. This was after he ministered to the woman in Samaria. And it says, but after these 2 days, Jesus went on from there into Galilee. Now, you know, Jesus spent 2 days after he talked to the woman of Samaria. She brought half the town to come out and hear him. Jesus spent 2 days, okay? But, you know, Jesus had a mission. He had to go to other places. So he couldn't spend all of his time in one place. So he spent 2 days there. Now he's in another place, okay? And he's in Cana of Galilee. And verse 44 says, although he himself declared that a prophet has no honor in his own country, and however, when he came into Galilee, the Galileans also welcomed him and took him to their hearts eagerly. I'm reading from the Amplified. How would you like to take Jesus to your heart eagerly? Jesus has a welcome place in my heart. Anytime Jesus wants to show up, he's welcome to do that. If he wants to wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and tell me something, you're welcome. Everybody say, you're welcome, Lord. If he wants to keep me up late at night, giving me revelation, he's welcome. Do not put the Lord on a timetable. Okay, Lord, I'm only available in the hours of 9 to noon. All right? Sometimes we do that, don't we? See, the Amplified says that they took him to their hearts eagerly. All right? King James says that they received him. Okay? How receptive are you to him, to his word? Does his word have a resting place in your heart? Can the word come in anytime, anywhere, any place, and it be welcomed? It be received? Okay? Having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. These people attended the wedding at Cana. They were guests at the wedding. All right, so they saw him turn water into wine, and they got to taste the wine. They said, boy, the wine that he made is good stuff. See, when you let Jesus touch something, he'll make anything good. Okay? And then he goes on. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman or royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. Okay? He was probably one of the guests at the wedding that got to taste the wine that they saw Jesus make into water. You know? Because I'm sure that the six people or the servants that Jesus said fill the water pots with water, and they watched the wine become, or they watched the water become wine, I'm sure that they told some people. All right? And this person was probably a guest at the wedding. He got to taste the wine. Now Jesus is back and people are all excited. All right, they're receptive. They're welcoming him, okay? Because he's about to do something and they're going to release their faith. You know, if you want God to do something, it's not all up to God. We have a part to play. You know, and our part is faith. What is faith? Trust, obedience, action. Faith is an action. Faith is an attitude. Faith sees the impossible. Amen? Brings the invisible into the material. Okay? So this nobleman, he's got a problem, right? What's his problem? His son is sick. Verse 47. When he heard, everybody say he heard. He heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee. He went unto him and besought him that he would come down, heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Okay, pretty serious. Time is of the essence. Okay? He didn't have, apparently he couldn't take him to the hospital. Apparently the doctor wasn't there to make a house call. He needed Jesus. The minute he heard of Jesus, what did he do? He went right to him. Do you know where to go to get your answer? He didn't go to this brother or this sister. He didn't go to this brother or this sister. He went to him. He went to him. Okay? Talking about faith, releasing faith. And what did he do? He besought him, or he asked him. He prayed, okay? Okay, I want you to come down, heal my son. He's at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. He was in the area close to his hometown. And he understood that in his hometown, he wasn't accepted because people knew him as Joseph's son and Mary's son. He's the son of the carpenter. Who gives him the right to speak like he does? Who gives him the right to do what he does? So he's not just saying it to this man, but he's saying it to the people. Unless you see a sign. All right? We got a lot of sign seekers today. People will follow signs. And God may or may not be in the sign, but they'll follow the sign. We need to follow God. And if the sign points to God, fine. Don't magnify the sign above God. Okay? The manifestation is not greater than the person. You got to understand that. The manifestation is not greater than the person. Because the person brings about the manifestation. Okay? The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down before my child dies. He believed that he could heal him, but he didn't necessarily believe he could raise him from the dead. Isn't that right? Just from what he said. He knew that. So, he was focused on Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son lives. And the man, what did he do? Believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Could he in that moment feel if his son was alive? No, because he was not where his son was. His son was back at the house, and he was with Jesus. He could not feel whether or not his son was alive. The only evidence that he had that his son was alive was his word. He had nothing else to go by. He couldn't take a poll. What do you think? How many people think my son is alive? Raise your hand. How many people think my son is not? He didn't take a poll. The only evidence that he had to go on, to trust in, to have faith in, to believe, is what Jesus said, his word. The word of God is the foundation of our faith. If you have faith in anything else, it's not really faith. Because this book, God's word, is the only substance in the universe that produces faith. There is no other substance in the world that will produce faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God created the worlds by faith. Okay? So, now, do you remember the Samaritans? Remember he talked to the woman and half the town came out? They didn't need any type of sign. They simply said, because we heard him for ourselves, we believe. Now, they had enough faith to receive the woman's testimony about what he did for her to come out. But when they heard them, when they heard him for themselves, then they had faith themselves in what he said. Okay? So in other words, their initial faith came as a result of this woman's testimony, right? But then when they heard his own words, they had their own genuine faith, and that's what caused them to stay there for 2 days. But I guess the people in Galilee were more into the signs, the manifestations, the things that Jesus did, the healings, the miracles, the wonders, the signs. Okay? I don't know why that is, but that's what it is. So, but you see the faith of this nobleman. Where else could he have turned to change his situation? Now, apparently he was a man of means. He worked for the government. You know, if you work for the government, you make out pretty good, right? I don't know. I don't work for the government, so I don't know. I'm just speculating. But he was a noble official, royal official. Okay? I'm sure that he could have had the best doctors, the best medicine. All right? So, verse 51. And as he was now going down. Think about this. You go and the preacher just says, your son lives, or your circumstance changes, or what you've been believing for has happened. Would that be enough for you to walk away knowing that you've got what you needed? How much more evidence would you need to believe? If you came up here for prayer, and I simply said to you, oh, what you've been believing for, it's done. Would that be enough for you to walk away? Or do you think that Jesus would have had to do more to give you something to believe in? Or is what he said sufficient for you to believe in? Verse 51. As he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Isn't that the exact same thing that Jesus said? Okay? Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend or get better. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So it was about maybe 1 o'clock. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, your son lives, and himself believed, and who else? His whole house. Did you know that faith can be contagious? Faith can be, other people can get excited about your faith. If you get in faith, then maybe other people around you will get in faith too. How about Cornelius? You think his household was in faith? He invited a man he never met to come to his house to preach something that he never knew that he needed. All God told Cornelius was, send for Peter. He's at such and such a house. Bring him to your house. He didn't give him anything else. And Cornelius, he acted on faith. How do we know that? Because he sent people to the tanner's house. And the Holy Ghost was saying, there are some men that are waiting for you. Go with them. Peter didn't know why he was going. Cornelius didn't know why he needed, didn't know what he needed, but he just acted on what the Lord told him. What the Lord said was sufficient evidence for Cornelius to take some action. I heard a story of a guy just recently, and he was a single guy. And he began to think, if I was married, how would I act? He wanted to get married, okay? And so you know what he started to do? He took half of his clothes from his closet and moved them on one side. He said, if I was married, half the closet wouldn't be mine. He began to change the way he lived as if he was married. He began to take some action. He began to take some simple steps that really portrayed what he believed. See, when your actions and your words line up with what you believe, you are in faith. But not until your actions and your words. If you're acting something and your words are different, you're not in faith. If on that scale, you've got more complaining than rejoicing, you're not in faith. Why? Because your actions say one thing and your words say another. Only until your actions and your words agree with the word, that's when you're in faith. That's when the power of God is going to be released. Who did this noble man come to? He came to the source of life. He came to the source of faith, Jesus. His focus was Jesus. His eyes were on Jesus. His attention was on Jesus. He listened to what Jesus said. Jesus didn't have to go lay hands on him. All Jesus had to say was, your son lives. That was enough. Your son lives. Three words. Well, I don't know if I heard from God. All he gave me was three words. Do you know how much power is in one word of God? How about one word, go, into all the world? Would that one word, go, compel you to go tell someone about Jesus? If all Jesus told you was, go, would that be enough for you to go and tell someone? He not only said, go, he said, where to go? Into all the world. To who? Every creature. Go unto anybody who will listen to you and tell them. He didn't even say, who will listen? He just said, go and tell. Not show and tell. Well, you could show the power of the Holy Spirit. Go show and tell. Remember, we used to have in school show and tell. You'd bring something to the school. It's time for the body of Christ to go show and tell. While you're working at your job, you ought to have in your mind to go show and tell. You're not there just to get an income. You are there to make a difference in other people, because I'm sure that there are people around you that do not know the Lord, but they're watching your actions. They're listening to your words, and they're finding out if you really believe what you believe. Do we really believe in the fruit of the Spirit? How many here believe in the fruit of the Spirit? All right. If we really believe, then we ought to show and grow some of that fruit. What is some of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, tenderness, self-control. Oh. Are you in faith when you're doing your assignment at your job? It'll be quickly known if you're in faith or not by what you do, how you do it, and what you say. Young people, you got to go to school in faith. If there was ever a dark place, they don't even let Jesus come to school. Imagine that. God, I want you to do something here. I'm trying, but they won't let me in. It's like he's knocking on the door. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. So if there was ever a place that you need to go in faith, it's to school. You ought to go in faith to your job. That means your attitude ought to reflect that of Jesus. I will move on. But that's, I mean, really, if you want to release your faith, releasing your faith is not in a moment. It's the way you live. The just shall live by what? Faith. Say that. Say the just shall live by faith. Say that one more time. Say the just shall live by faith. Say this. Say, I'm justified by faith. That means I should live by faith. Let's say that one more time. Say, I should live by faith. Say it one more time. Say, I'm going to live by faith. Amen. Amen. Well, God, I don't know why the power of God isn't happening, isn't occurring. Are you living by faith? You know who lived by faith? Elijah. Go to the brook Cherith. Okay. The water, you can drink water from the brook, and ravens are going to bring you bread in the morning, bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. Okay. The brook dries up. Where should I go now? I prepared a widow woman to sustain you. Okay. Go to Zarephath. Okay. That's what you call living by faith. You notice that when God sent him to the brook and the brook dried up, he didn't complain that the brook was dry. All God was saying was, the brook's not your source. Amen? The job is not your source. It's simply an avenue. It's one way that God gets things to you, but it is not the source of things. Is that true? God is our source. We got to trust God. This nobleman trusted God. He went to Jesus. My son is near the point of death. Come. He was asking Jesus to come, but all Jesus didn't come. He sent his word. How many, in Psalm 107, the Bible says he sent his word and healed them. How many know that all he has to do is send his word to make an effect? Because his word has the power. His word is anointed. All he has to do is speak. Lazarus, come forth. What happened? The man who had been dead for 4 days came out of the grave simply because Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. 3 words. Powerful. How do you release your faith? You simply act on what he said. The man, he walked away. He knew that his request had been met. So he didn't have to wait there anymore. He could go home in faith. And he said, oh, by the way, you know, what time did my son get better? The same time that he spoke and the same time that he believed. The moment you believe what he said is the moment the power will be there. In that moment. According to Jesus, the Father's faith was more important than the Son's need. Think about that. Jesus was more concerned whether the Father was in faith than how much need the Son had. The Son was at the point of death. Great need. God is not motivated by need. But what motivates him is faith. Is your trust in him and your ability to act on what he said. Your son lives was enough for that man to walk away knowing that he had gotten what he came for. Some people would have said, is that all you're going to do? Is that all you're going to do? Your son lives. Is that all? That's all he needed to do. That's all that needed to occur. He just needed to hear the word say that your son lives. He released his faith. It was no longer a burden to him. Now, he didn't walk away from that. Oh, I don't know if my son's going to make it. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, I went up for prayer. I don't know if I got it. I'm not getting on you too much, am I? Listen, anything that's not of faith is sin. If it's not of faith, then who are you trusting in? Yourself? Your circumstance? Your experience? Oh, I can do that. I've done it 100 times. You're trusting in yourself. Or you could say, I've done it 100 times. Or you could say, I'm going to do it by the grace of God. Look at how Paul introduced himself in every letter. I am an apostle by the grace of God, or by the calling of God, or by the anointing of God. Paul never wrote any letter without recognizing where the strength and the ability came from. Read it. Read every introduction of the epistles. See how Paul introduces himself. We're to magnify God in everything. We're not to magnify ourselves in anything. Our Lord and Savior himself said, without of myself, I can do nothing. Now, if he can do nothing, what makes us think that we can do something? This was the second miracle that Jesus did. But this miracle came about differently than the water to wine, didn't it? Well, let's look back at the water to wine. Go to John 2 for a minute. I want to show you something. Okay. They wanted wine. They needed wine. Wine was a need in the wedding. John chapter 2, verse 3. They wanted wine. The mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with you? My hour is not yet come. He's like, what do you want me to do? His mother said to the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, what? Do it. When you tell someone, Les, whatever he says to you, do it. That means that what he's about to say might just cause your brain to go, huh? If you have to tell someone whatsoever he says, do it, what he's about to say may not make sense in the natural. Right? Otherwise, you wouldn't have to say that to someone. But Mary had some insight, didn't she? She got to ponder the things about Jesus. The angel came and talked to her. The power of the Holy Spirit came on her. She got pregnant. Out came Jesus. And all the while, she pondered these things in her heart. You know what that means? She was building her faith. She was building her faith. So she got to the point that she could tell others, whatever he says, do it. Okay, verse 6. There were 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with what? Water. What did they need? Water and wine are not the same. But she said, whatever he says, do it. That's how you release your faith. You do whatever he says. Whatever the word says, you do it. Fill the water pots with water. What did they do? they filled them to the brim. Okay? Now, it's not up to us to take a word from God and make it into a sentence. Just stick with the word that he says. Don't try to add to it. Isn't that what Jesus said in Revelation? Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Why? It's good enough the way he says it. He says it that way for a reason. God said what he meant, and he means what he said. You don't have to change it. Why? Because it's perfect. His word is forever settled in heaven. We don't have to change it. We don't have to add to it. We don't have to take away from it. All we have to do is do it. Our responsibility to the word of God is to do it. If the Bible, if God wakes you up in the middle of the night to pray, then your job is to pray. You don't even have to know why. But I want to know why. If he wants to tell you why, he'll tell you. Your job is just to simply do it. If the Lord says, give $100 in the offering, then your job is to what? Do it. Because you may not understand why, but he's got a reason for telling you to do it. Our job is just to do it. Our job is just to say, I'm a doer. Say, I'm a doer of the word of God. I do what the word says. I listen to the word. I'm attentive to the word. And I do the word. That's how you release your faith. Now, you can't do the word and then do the flesh right after that. It doesn't work that way. You either got to do it and do it and do it and do it. And if you mess up, then you got to repent and do it. Right? You can't let, the more you let go undone of the word, the harder you become to it. And the harder it becomes to do it. If more and more is left undone. Now, who is the poster child for hardening of the arteries of the heart? In the Bible, who's the poster child? Pharaoh, right? God told Moses, go to Pharaoh, tell him, let my people go. Four words. No. Or, okay, I'll let them go. But no, I changed my mind. They're not going. I'm going to make their labor harder. The more he disobeyed God, the harder it became to obey God, and the more it cost him. So when you don't obey God in the little things, then you are letting those foxes come in and spoil the vine. The vine is spoiled for the little foxes. The little things. When we don't rejoice, when we complain instead of rejoicing, we're letting a little fox come in to destroy the harvest, the fruit. You're going to destroy the fruit that your faith could have produced. You know, God's interested in your fruitfulness. He wants you to grow. It's never God's design for someone to be in church for 20 years and never grow, never change. That's not the Bible way. That's not faith. Faith is continually progressing. Faith, the Bible says in Thessalonians, faith grows exceedingly. Our faith, we ought to be able to believe for bigger things. We ought to be able to do bigger things. I'm able to do more things now than what I did before. Because I realize how messed up I was then. I don't want to stay in a messed up state. I want to progress with God. I want to go on with God. But in order for you to get there, you got to do what he says in the little things. Releasing your faith is doing what he says. Is being confident in what he said. Is realizing that what he said is the only evidence that you need. If the word says that you should prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, we ought to just take God at his word. We ought to go into our however income comes to us. We ought to approach it with, okay, God wants me to prosper in this. I'm showing up today so that I can prosper. Because God wants me to prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. And it doesn't matter what you do. You think these guys who filled these water pots, you think they prospered? The Bible doesn't say it, but they did what he told them to do. You don't think that they were rewarded? Remember last week we talked about Abraham? He saw God as a shield and a reward. A shield and a buckler. God was his shield, his protector, and his reward. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God because you must believe that he is. You got to believe that he exists. And you got to believe that what? He's a rewarder. Did you know that God is a rewarder? What does he reward? He rewards faith. Those who believe him, those who trust him, and those who do what he says. What was the nobleman's reward? His son got healed. Do you think it was easy for him to go in public like that and plead his case? Do you think it was easy for the woman with the issue of blood to make her way and to touch the hem of his garment? You think it was easy for the leper? 1 out of 10 came back to worship him. And one was made whole. The others were healed, but one was made whole. All right, let's go back to John 2. I'm almost done. Okay, so they filled the water pots with water. What did they fill them with? Okay. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast. How confident would you be to take it to the host, knowing that you just put water in these pots? What did they need? Wine. What did he tell them to put in the pots? Water. And they had to bring it to the host. You don't think that that was faith? You don't think, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What happened? What if they had chickened out of bringing it to the host? I'm not bringing it to the host. You bring it to the host. I'm not bringing it to the host. You bring it to the host. Who's going to bring it to the host? They are. Notice they didn't argue about that. They didn't have a discussion. They didn't reason. Well, if I bring it to the host, what's going to happen? How's it going to become wine? What are you going to do, God? What are you going to do? 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 What's going to happen? What are you going to do? Isn't that what goes through our minds sometimes? And this is powerful. Verse 8, the end of 8, they bear it. You might as well say they did it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, from the time they dipped it into the container to the time they brought it to the host, a transformation in that wine occurred. And it was done because they released their faith. Because they had inside information. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. You know how she was a Jewish mama. You know how the Jewish mamas get. You know? She had some clout. Whatever he says, do it. Okay. They did exactly what he said. It wasn't until they did what he said that the miracle occurred. They believed because they did it. They did not see the water become wine. They did not see explosion. They did not see stars. They had the water pots and the water, and they had to go get it and bring it to the host. You know, that is faith. That's how you release your faith. And he did not know where this wine came from, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of feast called the bridegroom, and he said, you know, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when everybody has drunk, than that which is worse, but you have kept the good wine until now. And so let's go back to John 4. So, now let's just see some things. I just want to wrap it up here. Okay, so Jesus came into the area. And everybody that saw him come was part of the wedding. Okay, they were guests at the wedding. Verse 47, he heard. Faith comes by what? Hearing, okay? Once faith comes, then you must do something with your faith. That's how you release it. If you just sit on it, all right, send faith right in here. Come on, put faith right in here. Faith comes. All right, great. I got faith. Woo, yeah, I got faith. I got faith, man. Uh-huh. But if you do nothing, that faith that you receive will be dormant in you. You must do something with the faith that you have just received. If you don't do anything with it, there will be no power there. There will be no miracle. Well, I don't feel healed. Okay, pray for me, Pastor, that I be healed. In the name of Jesus, by his stripes, you're healed. Well, you know, I don't know if I'm healed. Who said consult your body? Faith does not come by consulting. Faith comes by hearing. Okay, you've heard the word. By his stripes you're healed. Now your part is you got to act healed. You got to talk healed. You got to walk like you're healed. Otherwise, there will be no power with the faith that you just received. You've got to act like it's so before it is. Before you ever see it, before you ever feel it, you've got to act and speak like it is, like he said. And you got to keep that until it manifests. God does not operate by time. He operates by eternity. But in this earth, until he comes back again and brings everything into order, we are under time. But he is not. The word is timeless. So he heard, he besought, he asked, then Jesus spoke, the nobleman said, sir, come down. Jesus said, go your way. The man believed the word and walked away. That's all. Once he believed, he could walk away in confidence. And what time did my son get better? At this hour? That's the same hour that he said and believed. The very same hour. So, very powerful. And he got exactly what he needed. His goal was to see his son improve. And he got exactly what he believed. If he didn't believe, he wouldn't have gone through the effort of beseeching Jesus. If he didn't believe, he wouldn't make that effort. Well, what will be. Why should I even try? I'm not even going to go talk to him. He's probably too busy taking care of the world. What's he going to do for me? If you have that attitude, you'll never get anything. You have to go after it. What is it, whatever your it is. Whatever your it is. You got to act like it, and you got to talk like it, and you got to keep acting and talking like it until you have it. You cannot change. To change means to waver. To waver is not in faith, because one who wavers will not receive anything. So if you spend your time wavering, you're in the moment, you believe God, But then the moment leaves. And you're left with reality. Well, you need to still believe God. Your belief shouldn't change. But your belief will change your circumstances. Amen? So do you understand how to release your faith? Two words that you can release your faith. What are those two words? Do it! Everybody say, do it.
Do it.
That's how you release your faith. So once Jesus said, your son lives, in that man's mind, he said, that's good enough for me. Roman centurion, only speak the word and my servant shall be whole. That's good enough for me. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have made us a people of faith. We are children of Abraham by faith. We become righteous by faith. Lord, faith is such an important part of our life. We can't do anything without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. So, Father, I ask you, Lord, to help us to have a good faith diet and good faith exercise. You need to eat the word and you need to exercise what you believe. Eat it, exercise it. Eat it, exercise it. And go out and be doers of the word, not just hearers only, but do it, put it into practice, carry it out, and you shall receive the power of God. And that power will change whatever you need to change in your life. So, Father, we draw to you. We thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will bring us into all truth regarding faith and how to release our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're able to give and you have an offering to give, then go ahead and give and be blessed. If not, be blessed. Yes, women, Saturday, you're going to have a glimpse of what it would be like to be in a woman's seminar. You don't want to miss 9/11/10. Going to be a powerful woven. If you're married, come at 9, and then the rest of the women come at 10. Stay as long as you want. Women, you ought to, it'd be like sun tanning. Get in there and soak it up. Amen? Just come and bask in the Lord's presence. You don't want to miss this Saturday. All right? Yeah, bring a dish. Have fun. Hang out. And then Sunday, we're going to see all the women on fire. Amen? Young people will have youth on Tuesday. And, of course, we have our 3G, right? G3. 3G, G3. And then this Sunday will be communion. It's the second Sunday of the month, so we'll have communion. What else is going on? Oh, and the singles, Sunday night at 5. If you're single, come out and for a time of fellowship. What else? I think that's it. Yeah,